Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911, two retired LA cops providing you high information Catholicism and high information Catholic radio. We're 10-8. We're on duty. We're reporting for duty to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're open for calls. Our call letters are John 3:16. Eddie, good morning. Well, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Jess, I'm doing well. How are you? Good morning, everybody, on Virgin Most Powerful Jesus 911 again today. And we got a great show today, Jess. We're going to do a live interview today of an individual who we both know. And we're going to allow her to ask us some questions. She's been living what I could say a pretty difficult life for some years. And we're going to... answer some questions from her. So,
Eddie, before we go to her, let me just take Mark Halk real quick. He's going to put a little plug in for his retreat. Then we'll go into the interview. Rich, can you put on Mark whenever you have a chance? He wants to put in a plug for his retreat, and then we'll get right to the interview. Go ahead and put him on. Yeah.
Hey, Rich.
Go ahead and put him on, Rich.
Hold on. Let me.
Yeah, listen, you're listening to Jesus 911. We're going to have a very thoughtful interview right now, but we're going to go back and forth just in a dialogue with somebody who has some very thoughtful questions about spiritual warfare. And I just want to put on Mark Houck real quick right before we start the interview. Rich, can you facilitate that?
Rich?
Can Rich hear me?
Rich, hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Yes, sir. Caller, this is Jesus 911, and I think this is Angie from Sacramento. Angie, go ahead. You're on. You wanted to have a conversation and talk about some spiritual warfare issues that you're having. Go ahead, Angie. You're on. We're all ears.
Okay, hi.
Hello.
Yes, I've been having a spiritual warfare. It's been a couple of years now, maybe about 20 years or so.
That's a couple of years. How long have I known you, Angie?
Maybe it's been,
15 years,
14
maybe?
14 years?
Yeah, 14 or 15 years.
14, 15? Yeah, because I got the baptismal classes.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So, about 14 years.
So let's talk about what's going on in your life, Angie. How did this thing begin? And tell us a little bit about yourself, and so we can understand a little bit better what's going on.
Yeah, well, as I grew up, I've noticed little things I would notice since I was young. But then as I got older, my parents took me to the diabolical world, right? Curanderos. Yeah. Santeria, yep. And all that. So I got involved at a very young age.
Yeah. Angie, let me just... Angie, let me jump in. This is Jesse. Let me put you on hold real quick. Just stay on the line because we're going to have you on for the whole hour. I just want to put a little commercial for a men's retreat real quick before we go back to you.
Sure.
So just, stay on the line because we're going to get back to Angie from Sacramento. Rich, can you put on Mark Houck so we can promote his retreat? Mark, this is Jesse. You're on. Go, buddy.
Hey, Jesse. Thanks for having me again.
Good. You're on Jesus 911. You got a retreat coming out here in Arizona. What's going on?
Oh, praise God. Yes, we're going to be back in Arizona. We'll be up in Flagstaff this time.
Okay.
You've been at this End of the Wild retreat up in Sholo, so we're moving it to Flagstaff September 12th to the 15th. We'll be up in the mountains again.
How can people get a hold of you and sign up for the retreat?
Sure. So it's an outdoor experiential retreat for men. And we take men of all ages, 11 and up.
It's outstanding, by the way. Outstanding. I've been to it.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
So they can go to intothewildweekend.com to learn more about the retreat and register. We're taking registrations all the way up to the day of the retreat.
And what about, is there a phone number where people get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Yeah, they can go to that website. They can find it there if they forget. But the number is 267-980-5507. That's my cell phone. They can call me directly. I can share anything with them. I'll give it to you again. 267-980-5507.
And the website one more time, Mark.
Yeah, intothewildweekend.com.
Okay. I'll continue promoting this up until the day of the retreat. Mark, thanks a lot, partner, for calling in.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk again. And thanks to all your listeners. God bless you.
You got it, brother. God bless you. Have a great day. Bye.
Take care. See you, man.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, Angie, you were telling us about your parents during your upbringing, kind of brought in the occult world, right? How did that happen?
Yeah. When I was young, supposedly my parents were going for healing and I guess other stuff. I guess kind of know the future. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I did grow up in the church, in the Catholic Church. All my ancestors and everyone have been Catholic. And I did grow up going to church with my grandmother in the mornings. But the problem is sometimes they take you to church and they don't explain to the kids, why do you go to church? You know?
Yes.
And sometimes the kids see it as a punishment, like, here we go to church again. You know, they see it kind of like a punishment. And I think it's very important for parents and everyone to explain to them, why do they go to church? Why is it so important, you know?
Yes, exactly.
You know who Jesus is.
Yep, exactly.
It's a punishment, and that's what's wrong, you know, with the society now, that they don't, they just, you have to go to church.
Exactly. Without explaining why.
Yeah.
You're right. Angie, let me just mention something for purposes of the audience. In the Hispanic community, there's a lot of people that practice their Catholic faith in something else, santería, curanderas, brujería. This is called the sin of syncretism in the Catholic faith. As Catholic Christians, followers of Christ, we can't mix the Catholic faith with anything else, with the dream catchers, with chakras, with the New Age. The Catholic faith given to us by Jesus Christ stands on its own. And when people do that, they open themselves up to the diabolical. That's all I wanted to say. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes. Exactly what my parents did. You think it's not bad? Because when you go to all these places, you also pray the Our Father, the Creed. You do everything and they tell you to go to church and receive the communion. But at the same time, well, it's a big sin because you're going to those places and you're going to church. Or, you know, you can't be doing both. You're either with God or you're not.
Correct. And that and the church. Yeah, Angie. And the church, just for purposes of the audience, so they get it straight. This is called the sin of superstition. And it's also called the sin of idolatry because you're putting something else before God. So that's what the church would say. To go to these places is called the sin of superstition, the sin of divination, and the sin of idolatry. Go ahead.
And you know what, Angie? Let me just say one thing, because I know it's going to come up later. And this is so important. And it begins early on when a family is young and the parents have their children and they are not catechizing them properly, is that the parents have the ability to set the tone for what the children believe. And if there's anything that's done that's contrary to the Catholic faith, there will be repercussions later, as we'll learn. But if they do any kind of interaction with the occult or any pacts or anything of that sort, it will stay with the family for years to come. But I just wanted to mention how important it is that what you're saying about teaching the kids why we go to church, what happens at church, and why it's necessary to keep going. That's the important part of it. But go ahead.
Yeah, it's very important for us to do that. Because like you said right now, and then they tend to tell you, well, white magic is not bad because it sounds white, right? White magic,
right.
There's the black magic, there's different types, right? I think the toughest one is Santeria, which I played with.
Right.
And doesn't matter which one, they all belong to Satan.
Correct.
And that's a mistake our parents do. They don't realize all that. And I had another question is, what to call, a lot of people think, okay, like my parents, I stopped playing with that, so I'm good. I'm going to church now, so it's done. Is it done there? Or what needs to be done?
What needs to be done is once you've attracted an evil spirit, once you've opened the door to the diabolical through the occult, what you have to do is you have to go to confession to a Catholic priest. Because here's what happens. When you fall in mortal sin, and those practices are, they're a grave offense, they really offend God, we call them mortal sin. It's a grave offense. What happens in mortal sin is, whether you know it or not, you indirectly make a pact with a demon. And so the only way to break that packed with a demon through mortal sin is you have to go to confession. Jesus Christ gave Peter and the apostles the power to forgive sins. When a priest says in the sacrament of confession, when he raises his hand and says, I absolve you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit by the authority vested in me in the church, the word absolve in Latin means I break the bond, I dissolve the bond, because the prayer of the priest is dissolving that bond that you've made with a demon through mortal sin, whether it's the demon of the occult, the demon of pornography, the demon of masturbation, the demon of lust, the demon, et cetera, et cetera. Then after you go to confession, if you've had been involved in the occult, it would be good for you to start doing deliverance prayers. You can do them over yourself. There are deliverance prayers on the internet. The ones written by, the ones that I use are called auxiliumchristianorum.org. They're in English, Spanish, or Latin. Those are the ones that I recommend to people because they were written by some of the greatest exorcists in the country. So it's good to start praying deliverance prayers at that point for the rest of your life. And it's also good if you go, a good priest after confession, what he'll do, if he knows you got involved in the occult, he'll make sure that you renounce these sins. Yeah, so he'll walk you through what's called prayers of renunciation and prayers of repentance.
Okay, Angie, I hear the music, so that means we're going to go to a break. Stay with us. We'll come back after the commercial. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Jesus 911 here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stick with us for this very interesting interview. We'll be right back.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, two-man core, 10-8, Jesus 911. We've got Angie from Sacramento. She has all kinds of good insight on spiritual warfare as a result of having been a victim of spiritual warfare affliction. And she has a lot of also good questions that she wants to make here at the show. Angie, let's continue this conversation for the benefit of yourself and the audience.
Yes, Angie, you were mentioning that you were involved in something early on as a child. How old were you when you started to dabble in the occult, into, I think you said, white magic, right?
Yeah, black magic, curandería, with the curandero, and then Santería at the end. I was in middle school when I started, I believe.
Wow. So you were very young.
School, maybe? Yeah, I was very young when I started this, and I never thought it was wrong, because pretty much you do what your parents tell you to do, and since they pray just like in the church, you get confused, because the curandero tells you, hey, do three Hail Marys or do this, so you kind of feel like, well, this is the same thing they tell you at church, pray this, right?
Yes.
So you get sometimes confused of what you're doing. So I did, I did a lot of stuff. I don't know, the Little Tahunga River, they use it a lot to do packs there. I remember going to the Little Tahunga River.
Yes.
And there's other beaches. The beach, there's a couple of beaches where they take you to do stuff as well.
Okay.
Usually they go, say, in the morning, 2 a.m, 3 a.m. to go you do your packs. And never did I think none of this was wrong, you know?
Okay.
I was only being obedient and everything.
Sure.
We were practicing this for many years, and not only me, my parents, my siblings, and my uncles got involved. Some of my cousins got involved with the same person, the same curandero.
Okay.
Angie, from about what age to what age were you practicing the occult?
I probably practiced it from middle school, and I probably stopped about age 23, but between those ages, I didn't play for it for some time, because around age 18, I moved out from home.
Okay.
I moved up from the house because of a couple of problems and things I didn't like, because this was going too far with playing with this.
Right.
So about age 18, I moved out from home. I found out, because I think this is important for others to hear, I found out at age 18, I was only around, my father said, because he didn't let my mom get an abortion. I think this is important, because I'm sure I'm not the only one that's been through this. So after discovering that, I didn't play with the cult no more when I moved from here. I started going back to church, but I've noticed when the priest was going to consecrate, I wanted to run out of church. I didn't know why I felt that, but I felt like running out of church. I started to party a lot and everything. I was living on my own, you know? At the same time, even if I was going to church, but then it just came around age 20. It came to, around age 18 also. I forgot, this is very important, because this my grandfather passed away.
Right,
and
I remember this.
He had mentioned some stuff to me, which I thought he was wrong, because he was, you know, when someone's old, they say nonsense sometimes, things that don't make sense.
Yes.
But it's actually, he did make sense of everything he told me. He mentioned... He would mention to me when my mom wasn't around, when I would visit him, now that he was at the convalescent home. My grandfather, I never really got to know him till the end, because he left my grandmother. He abandoned her, just like back in the days when they come and work, you know, the American dream.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he never went back. He went with different women or whatever. I didn't quite understand the story till I was a little older. He mentioned to me before he died that he would talk to the devil. And he would tell me he would fight with him in different stories, which I thought he was just playing. He's older. He's losing his mind.
Right.
But then before he passed away, he told them, tell me goodbye. They were going to cut his leg off because he was diabetic.
Oh, yes.
He told me to tell him goodbye. He told me, it was time. The devil said it was time for him to go because he had to pay. It was time to pay the interest. Because he wanted north, love, and money.
Okay. Okay, hold on.
I kind of thought that was, yeah.
No, that's fine. That's fine, Angie. I wanted to ask you, so it seems to me that this occult was at least from two generations in your past. So this wasn't something that you started or maybe even your parents, but your grandfather's generation, right?
Yes. That's what I recently discovered after going to a healing service. When I got prayed over,
yes.
I recently discovered that it goes beyond that. Something I left behind on my past. That's why I thought this is very important for me to mention about my grandfather.
Right.
Because now that I got prayed over, when a priest who has a very strong gift of prophecy, he mentioned, I didn't start sick at age 20, because at age 20, I got really sick after receiving a shot at a hospital.
Right.
I entered a coma where I almost died. After that, I became like a vegetable. I didn't talk. I didn't walk for 2 years. That's when I came back to my parents' house, and my mom would do everything for me. And that's when I came back to playing with the Colts. I didn't play from age 18 to almost 21. I didn't play with the Colt. But once I came back here, I started playing with it again. Why? Because I pretty much couldn't do nothing. I was like a vegetable.
Oh, yes.
I could kind of talk. I would talk very low, but I couldn't do nothing for myself. And they would take me on the wheelchair. So what could I really do? Nothing, right? Just do what they were telling me to do.
Your family would take you on the wheelchair to play the occult?
Yeah. With the curandero, we would, like, in the wheelchair, they would help me walk. You know, I would use a wheelchair when I really couldn't. Yeah. Or the curandero actually came to the house. He would come to the house. He would do limpias to the house.
Yeah.
And the
Describe
last...
Describe limpias for the audience. Describe limpias.
Limpias would be, like, they pass over you, like, plants and stuff. They say different stuff. They throw water.
It's like a cleansing, right? Like a cleansing?
Like a cleansing. Like a cleansing. They would throw water around the house, the whole house, like a stinky water or, like, some green water. I don't know what he was doing. So that's what a limpia is. Or to yourself, he smokes like something and he like passes plants over you and he says something while he's doing that.
Okay,
so that's what a kind of a limpia do.
Yeah.
And he would also do you know, when you do the tarot reading, they tell you your future through the cards.
Sure.
So there's so many things that people get confused and think, oh, well, this is not bad, but it is.
This is part of what I
Once again,
do.
For purposes of the audience, this is all called the sin of superstition. And it's called the sin of divination, and it's called the sin of idolatry. Those are the three sins that one would have to confess when they go to confession. Why is it idolatry? Because what you're doing is you're putting your trust in something else, in some occultic pagan practice, versus Jesus Christ's death on the cross for you and the grace that comes from that. Number two, superstitious, is because this is based on pagan myth, on pagan legend. And the third thing that I said is divination. It's also the sin of divination because as a Catholic, we're supposed to live by faith and not by sight. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us or next week, and we're not supposed to know. We're supposed to live by faith. We call that divine providence. We allow God just to just roll out human history with us involved in human history, and God will do as he sees fit, you know, based on our free will cooperation. So when people go to these occultic shamans, to try to know the future, that's also called the sin of divination. Trying to find out things about the future that's not for you to find out. That's exactly the problem that's what got Eve in trouble. Even the Old Testament, Eve wanted to know the future. The serpent said that you'll have knowledge like God. She says, I'm going to have knowledge to know things about the future that only God knows. That was also the problem of King Saul. He went to a witch called Endor. King Saul wanted to know the future of his life, and he also got possessed. And so those are the three things that would violate Catholic principles when you go to these shamans, these witch doctors and these sorcerers. Angie, go ahead. We got Angie from Sacramento, by the way, sharing with us here on Jesus 911. Go ahead.
Okay. So the last thing we did before the Lord started working on me was in 2003, October, the curandero came to the house in the night. He did like a fire in the living room. He put a candle of a black woman. It was a woman, but it was a black candle. And he started making everybody jump the fire. He started doing other stuff as well. He anointed all the windows and doors and the attic doors.
By the way, Angie, that's an Old Testament practice. It's called fire walking. It comes from the Old Testament. From the Molechs, the Edomites, the Philistines, they used to, it's an occult practice that they used to force their kids to do. And it's a way of worshiping the gods and trust and seeing if the gods will protect them from this fire. It's a very old pagan practice. Continue.
Uh-huh. So we did that, but at that point of my life, I felt very insecure about what I was doing. And some lady had already started coming from church, I guess, because my parents went to go ask for help because they saw me very sick after everything that I had been going through, that shot that I received out of the hospital that left me like that. So this lady started coming from church, and this lady was only the lady who collects the money at church and cleans and helps with whatever she can. But every time she come to the house, she says, and they were bringing me now the communion. She says, when I come in this house, I feel something very strange. Do you play with the cult? I don't know much about it, but I feel something. I don't know why I feel this. And I said, no, because my mom looked at me like saying, you better not say it. So when my mom, one of the times the lady came and she, my mom was distracted. I told the lady, is curanderos the bad? Is that bad? And then she says, yes. Why? And I go, talk low. And then I go, look, we've been doing, you know, this curandero comes. I've been also practicing out Santeria to get healed. And because, I don't know, my parents wanted to know the future. We do. Is that bad? So the lady said, yes, that's very bad. And we're giving you the communion like that. So then she explained to me, I wasn't able to receive the communion that day no more. She said, you have to decide. Do you want to be with God or do you want to be with that? That's not from God. She briefly explained and she said, I will bring a priest to confess you, but you really have to make a decision where you want to be. That's not true. That's not from God, even if they're making you pray. And she did briefly explain. So the lady, that day was the day that this happened. I didn't know what the curandero was doing, but now I discovered it in confession. That was a consecration of the house and my sisters and me to the devil that my parents did.
Yes, yes.
But I didn't know
without
that
a doubt.
Was a consecration. I didn't know that was a consecration. And what was very weird, I'll be honest, my older sister kind of got scared when we were doing the consecration, and she went to go sit outside in the porch.
Right.
She said she saw a crow pass by, and the crow screamed 3 times. So that's when she comes in really scared when we're doing this. So anyways, we did this last step, but as we're doing the last step, before when the curandero was being done with whatever he was doing, I asked God in my head, God, if this is really not from you, show me, give me a sign. Where do I belong? What, you know, I'm very confused at this time of my life. So the Lord showed me. I was able to see, and it was weird, the enemy's face on the curandero. And I got really scared of what I was seeing as I was praying to God in my head. So then I told the curandero, God just showed me who you are. Oh.
Yes, wow. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Hold on to that thought. We need to hear the rest of that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Jesus 911, an interview of somebody who dabbled in the occult. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Lord Jesus Christ, cover us with your precious blood and cover Angie with your precious blood as she continues sharing her testimony. Virgin most powerful, pray for us. Saint Joseph, terror demons, pray for us in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go ahead, Angie. Continue. Pick it up where you left off.
Okay, yeah. So we did the, as I was mentioning, whatever the last step we did, you know, we did the consecration. But the Lord was able to show me at the last step when I was praying in my head that this man was no good. I was able to see who he really was. So pretty much the consecration of the house in us was over. But that's when I told the man, I know who you are. God just showed me. You really belong to the devil. You've been lying to us all these years. Over 6 years, you know? Over 10 years or so playing with this, with the cult.
Angie, hold on a second.
It was bad.
Let me ask you something real quick. How did your family get in alignment with this particular curandero? In other words, did it come from a family source or was it somebody you guys just went out and found? Or how was the connection made there initially when you first started using this curandero for different things?
We found this one that we stick with for a couple of years because I believe my parents went to other places as we were kids. I discovered this recently. So they went to other places. My dad even went to the India Masonico, I believe, to that commercial thing, that India Masonico.
Right.
But what's it called? My dad was looking to purchase other properties.
Mm-hmm.
So he ran into this real estate guy from Peru. And that man introduced him to this curandero where we stood for many years. That's how we ended up meeting him.
Okay.
That's how we met him, and the distance didn't matter. My dad would drive. He, you know, everybody would drive. Distance wouldn't matter because he thought this man is helping me out, you know?
Sure.
Helping me out with the, you know, the packs I did with to be financially good and all this kind of stuff, you know?
Of course. And you said, like you said, Angie, you know what? People grow up and they're confused. They're confused about what is right, what is wrong. You know, what does Catholicism really teach? And so, you know, I understand that more and more now as I talk to you and other people that there's not a clear cut distinction between the right and wrong and the evil. And so that's what we have to address. Let me ask you this. How many of your siblings are with you and recognize what your family did as evil and how many are still kind of dabbling in it?
Okay, my older two siblings, they changed Christian and they say you're out and it's over. So they have never renounced or anything.
Okay.
My younger sibling, she believes in this and she's been trying to find a resolution to come out. She felt rejected by the Catholic Church, I'll be honest, and she recently left like a year or two back to, she went to Christian again. Because she already had came back two times from the Christian after talking to her. And I think when people do this, because I've been observing my sister, my younger sister, which I'm closer to,
right.
I've been observing her and everything. The reason she left, it's because they're seeking for a human being to heal them. And no human being is going to heal us.
Yes.
The only one that's going to heal us is God. And because she felt rejection, and I'm going to say this for many of you, you know, listeners, you will be rejected many times. And just remember, it's not your time. Because I felt like leaving the church myself at times, and it's not your time. It's going to be at God's time. Look at how long did it take for Moses. You know, it was 40 years for the liberation. For Joseph, it was 25 years, right? So I guess
it was a long time. Yes,
it's God's time.
Yes,
it's at God's. It's going to be at God's time, not my time. And I think many of us leave the Catholic Church seeking for help. And because we want God to do it when we want it to be done. And it's going to be at God's time, not our time,
right.
Our liberation.
Also, something that it's important to mention, that these curanderos, these santeros, these are all over Hispanic neighborhoods. They don't even hide themselves. Many of them today just have, they have advertisements right in front of their house. They'll have a little placard in front of the house. You know, come in here and see Curandera Maria. They have business cards. They put ads on all the little, Catholic news, on all the little Spanish newspapers. A lot of them will just, they'll just identify themselves as botanicas. That's how they'll call themselves. They operate out of these things called botanicas. And in there, you got the curanderas, the sorcerers, the witch wizards, the witches. And they draw everything that they do there. They will couch it with a few Catholic prayers to hook the Catholic, because they know most of the people in the neighborhood are at least Catholic in name. And what they do is they draw you in through a few Catholic prayers. Maybe they'll have a few Catholic statues in the front of the store. And then when you're in there is when they start doing the hexes, the incantations. They start doing the curses and the maldiciones. So that's the hook, is they paint a picture like if they're Catholic friendly, and then they get you in there. Continue.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's what they do, what you just mentioned right now that I was going to mention. They end up doing all that, and that's how they catch, you know, have you go in there and start doing that.
And this happens because a lot of Catholics, they don't have a deep knowledge of their faith. And a lot of Catholics, unfortunately, this is sad, they don't have a relationship with God. If you don't have a relationship with God, you're going to fall for something like this, because every single person in their heart, they're looking for some, they're looking for love. And where they're looking for is God. They don't know it. And they end up replacing God with all these alternatives that get them in a lot of trouble. But go ahead.
Yes, that's what ends up happening. That's what you're looking for love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's
and God is love. That's who we're all looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what happens. So, yeah, I got very involved with the cult and everything. And now to get out of the cult, I stepped away from it since 2003, but it's very, very difficult. As I mentioned, my younger sister just left the Catholic Church. And so it's only my parents, my grandmother, me Catholic, and other family members that left to Christian. I just found out my cousins that had left from the Christian, they just came back to the Catholic, and they're finishing. They signed up to do their confirmation.
Oh, praise God. So let me jump in here and just mention something for purposes of the audience so they get this straight. When we talk about Christian, there's really several types of Christians. You have Catholic Christians. And in fact, the word Christian was first used for Catholics, to identify Catholics. So I just don't want the audience to be confused. I know what you're saying. When you say Christian, in my mind, that means Protestant.
Right.
The Protestants broke away from the Catholic Church in 1531, and they're called the 40,000 denominations that are not under the Catholic Church are called Protestant Christians. There's 40,000 of them. We are called Catholic Christians. So we're all Christians. We all believe in Jesus Christ, but the Christian church that was started by Jesus is only the Catholic Church, and the churches started by men are the Protestant churches. Now, here's something important for the purposes of the audience. Protestants don't have the fullness of faith to be able to break with the diabolical. That's why some of the more famous cases in history, Protestants will send their people back to the Catholic Church to break, for example, possession, which is rare. Possession is not common, but some of the famous cases, they'll send them back to the church, because Protestants, they can pray over you. They have limited power, but they don't have the full power given to them by Jesus Christ. It's only found in the Catholic Church through the bishops, through the priest. And so the way you break any diabolical curse for certain, 100%, this is the Catholic, the person, whether they're Catholic or not, they have to receive what's called sanctifying grace. You can't buy that at Walmart or Rite Aid or Target. You can't get that at a Baptist church at Calvary Chapel. Sanctifying grace is the only thing that breaks the diabolical. That's called the grace that makes you holy. It makes you holy in your soul. And the only way you can get that are through the sacraments of the Catholic Church. Now, to be fair, the Orthodox also have sacraments, and they also break the diabolical. They have exorcists as well, so I need to be fair. But sanctifying grace is what breaks the diabolical. When a person comes back to the Catholic Church and pursues the life of holiness, I mean holiness, where they are going to confession and communion and reading their Bible and praying to God three times a day. That the sacraments break the curse. It fills you with the life of God. And now the life of prayer and faith and the sacraments continually, it keeps you strong in your faith. That's why Protestants continue to fall in and out of the diabolical, because they don't have the power to break it ultimately, which is called sanctifying grace, which is only found in the Catholic and the Orthodox churches.
Justin, I should mention too that a lot of these things are long term. Let's look at Angie here. Her family has dealt with this for generations, and she's paying a price for little by little this family removing themselves under the demonic influence of the occult. So we never know. It may be within Angie's generation that they're able to break it. Or maybe it'll even go longer than that. But the reality is somebody in the family identified it as wrong. They had this conflicting experience with identifying something that's wrong within the context of somebody saying that it was all good. And so that's what it takes. So we have to realize that, and Angie, I'm sure that you do, that you are paying a price for your family's lack of religious fervor and dealing with this situation, because a lot of what you're saying, I remember talking with you about years and years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what happens, right? What happens is, yeah, and my parents are not looking for help, nor my other older siblings. My younger sibling is, but like you said, what you did mention, Jesse, about only the Catholic, I heard about this case of this priest. There was a guy who was possessed and he was Christian. I heard that the mom was so desperate and she ended up going with this Catholic priest who is who has permission to do this. Yes. In LA. And I believe the priest, all he did was she asked for permission to the parents. Can I baptize your son? Has he ever been baptized? No, he never has. I believe they were Catholic and they left to the Christian, never baptized him and everything. And now they're back. Well, the minute the priest started doing the baptism on the guy who was possessed and hitting everybody, you know, mm-hmm. the guy was liberated. The guy was liberated with the baptism.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second, Angie.
There's
gonna,
a lot of cases like that.
Yeah, that's one of the winning stories, the Catholic Church. Okay, stay with us. We'll be right back for the final segment. We're talking to Angie from Sacramento on the occult. We'll be right back.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol 10-8, two-man car, Jesse and Eddie, Jesus 911. We've got Angie from Sacramento sharing with us how she was involved in the occult and how she came out of the occult. Angie, would it be fair to say that you're a practicing Catholic? You're in love with the Lord Jesus Christ now. You have a relationship with him, and you're doing your best to try to live a life of holiness. Would that be a fair assessment of your situation today?
Yes. Yes, it would be.
And
yes, it would be.
Also, having said that, just remember also, everybody, the Pope included, everybody will continually, until the day we die, we will be harassed, annoyed, vexed, molested by the devil. That's what he does.
Oh, yeah.
So don't think, I want to say, because I think a lot of people that have come out of the diabolical or come out of the occult and stuff, and they've been set free by Jesus, and they still feel a lot of the consequences or a lot of residual effect, and they feel, oh no, does he got me back in his clutches again? No, every single one of us, everybody on planet, no exceptions, will continually be tormented and tempted and vexed, annoyed by evil spirits, but you have the power through Jesus Christ and a relationship with him to stay out of the devil's camp, to stay out of his lair. What's the devil's camp? I'll tell you three things that exorcists tell us. This is where the devil hangs out. Number one, the world of the occult. Number two, the world of sexual perversion. Number three, the world of drug addiction, the entire world of intoxication. Those are the three areas where Satan has power and authority, and he sets up camps. So as long as you don't go back into the world of the occult, into the world of sexual perversion, and into the world of intoxication, you're going to be free from ever falling back into the clutches of the devil. But it doesn't mean that you're not going to have, like, you know, moments of annoying thoughts, accusing words in your head. Those things, we'll be battling with that until the day we die. But what you have to do, and what a lot of people, we have to train ourselves to do, is to take control of your mind. When you get these bad thoughts, bad images in your mind, because of the residual effects of everything that you've been through, you've just got to immediately turn to prayer, start thinking about God, start contemplating about heaven, start contemplating about the mercy and the power of God through his blood on the cross, Jesus Christ. So you've got to take control of your mind. That's what St. Paul calls in the Bible, renew your mind, because the battle against demons is not with our biceps. It's not, we're not battling them physically. We're battling them in our mind. They attack the mind. And many Catholics, they have a weak mind because they don't have a relationship with God. And so they just take all these thoughts and it consumes them. When those evil thoughts come, you start combating those thoughts with thinking about goodness and beauty and truth, which is God, and going into prayer. Eddie?
And Angie, you know, another thing we have to remember in your specific case is that this was not your choice necessarily. This was a choice of your family. This is a choice of your mother and father that really didn't guide you properly when you were young. So the fact that you became confused at an early age, the fact that you got into this at the beginning was not entirely your fault. So what you have to do is you have to take advantage of that. Number one, you have to pray for those people in your family that are still doing this, or at least still affected by the things that you described for us that happened. Because the reality is this, just like you and I, they're going to be harassed by the devil till the day they die. And you know, the reality also, Angie, is that to the degree they're still attached to that, to some degree, they will be affected even more greatly than you. So you need to pray for them. This is part of your healing to pray. And I know you do because I've talked to you before. Every once in a while, we'll call each other and run some things by each other. So I understand what you go through. So you know what? Whatever you're going through right now, realize that, like you said, you yourself said, it's all in God's time. You always have to remember it's in God's time. And sooner or later, you will be entirely liberated from it. And that's a good news. That's a good news of the gospel.
Yeah. That's what I was going to mention about what Jesse just said, about you still continue after you leave the cult. You will feel oppressions, as in depression, anxiety, fear. You deal with so much stuff, I've noticed, because not only myself, but my siblings are feeling the same thing. And I've noticed the only thing that's helped me is something that they told me. Have you ever read the Bible? And that's something I never did. Even if I went to church, I would go to church, it's more like of a tradition, right? I would see it more of a tradition going to church. Mm-hmm. But us Catholics, we don't open the Bible. And that's the number one thing we should be doing, opening the Bible. How do we want God to speak to us if we don't open the Bible?
Right.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah. Here's two things that I'll say. Number one, every Catholic, most Catholics can read. Most people are not literate. Every Catholic should be reading the Bible every day. There's no excuse not to. And by the way, that's something that the saints have been and popes have been calling us to for 2,000 years. St. Jerome says, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ back in the 4th century. So you're right, Angie. Every Catholic should be praying, should be reading their Bible every day. So I say, okay, Jess, what should I read? Simple. What did I do before the show? I read the mass readings before the show. I read the Old Testament book of Genesis. I read the Psalm for today, Psalm 122, and the Gospel for today in Matthew. And so I got about 6 or 7 minutes of the Word of God. I meditated upon what it said even before the show. And I do that every day. You can go to Mass every day if you can, and you could listen to the Word of God every day. Take your missal, take a Bible and follow along. Get out of Mass and meditate upon what was said that day. But you're absolutely right. Another thing about the Catholic Mass, and most Catholics don't know this because they're biblically illiterate. The Catholic Mass is peppered with Scripture from beginning to end. It starts off with Scripture and it ends with Scripture. It's a biblical prayer. Most people walk out, they don't know that. I said, wow. Would you realize if you counted all the verses in the Bible in a Catholic Mass, you'd get hundreds of Bible verses that you would count, because that's what the Mass is. It's a complete biblical prayer. But once again, we got to get our Catholics up to speed.
Yes. I met this priest from the Colonia, John the Baptist, and he gave me this bookmark where it tells you, the priest told me, You eat 3 times a day, right? And you don't miss a meal, do you? And he goes, well, what about if you, before you eat your meal, 3 times a day, you start reading? And he gave me a bookmark where it says 20 minutes, one chapter, one psalm, one song. And then sing, like, it depends, the 3 times a day, it gives you advice what to do. And he mentioned for me to be doing that 3 times a day. And I go, but where do I start reading the Bible? He said, start with the New Testament. Start with the New Testament.
Correct. Yep. Good advice. He gave you good advice.
Yeah.
And that's, yep. Exactly. And you know what? You just mentioned something that most Catholics don't do. And that is, we do not go to Scripture for the answers to life's problems. This is a situation, Angie. The situation is that we look for people, we look for circumstances, we look for finances, we look to other places to help us solve the issues of life that we're having, whether we be demonized or not, whether we be occult members or dabbling in the occult or not, but we're always looking for the easy answer. And the reality is, the easy answer comes with the Scriptures, with the Bible, if people would only know that. And like Jess said, the Mass is the Bible from beginning to end. I don't know why it takes such a message to get that out there, Jess. Sometimes you have to start a radio station to get that realized. But yeah, definitely. I mean, everything we do at Mass comes from Scripture. So I don't understand.
Got a few minutes left.
Yeah, we have a few minutes, Angie. Go ahead.
I want to pray for Angie before we...
Let's do that.
I was just going to mention something really quick.
Sure. Go ahead.
I met an exorcist, and I've been dealing with this so many years, and the exorcist told me, there's a mistake that you've been doing all these years. That's why you keep getting these attacks, because you've been going to church. They pray for you. You cleanse yourself. You go back to that house. Well, it's possessed. I've got it blessed, Father. He goes, that house doesn't need a simple blessing. It needs an exorcism. He goes, so you guys had to start here. Number one, of course, you did the confession and everything, because you need to confess once you play with all this, right? That's the first step, the confession.
Right.
And you start receiving your sacraments and everything goes. But number one, you had to do an exorcism to the house, and then everything will fall in place. He goes, that's a mistake you did, number one. Then I met this other priest recently who prayed over me, who has a gift of prophecy, and he told me, I don't need an exorcism. This comes from my ancestors, which we had mentioned. That's why I said it was very important about my grandfather.
Yes.
He said, you have ancestor chains that need to be ripped. This is why you've been like this all these years. The moment your grandfather died, and it's true, the moment my grandfather died, that's when I started getting really sick. It was age 18, not age 20, but I didn't realize till I started to pray and God revealed that. So
yeah, and you know,
I think I need an exorcism, and I didn't need an exorcism. That's why it's very important to find out if you need an exorcism or what is it you need.
Angie, hold, let me just jump in there real quick.
Yeah.
When we're dealing with a house, an object, it's not called possession. A house can't get possessed. It doesn't have a body and a soul. Only a human person can get possessed. A house gets infested with demons. It's called house infestation. And yes, you need a priest to do. It's called a minor exorcism over houses. That's what it's called, a minor exorcism. Any priest can do it. By the way, it's in the Book of Blessings. Any priest can do it. And the second thing, if I were you, I would get a hold of. It's on the internet. It's all over California. Look at going to a Healing the Family Tree conference or a session, like a workshop, a weekend, Healing the Family Tree, because people that have demonic attachments through their family, it's an entire day where a priest walks you biblically to heal your family through prayer, through meditation, and at the end they do a healing mass. It's very beautiful, and there's a lot of priests that do that. So look up somewhere where it says healing masses, Healing the Family Tree. And I would attend one if you haven't already done so.
And, Jesse,
and also the last thing, don't give too much credit to the devil. I think a lot of us, we make the mistake of giving him too much credit. Don't focus on him too much. Remember, our faith as Catholics, it's Christ-centered, not demon-centered.
And you know, Jess, another thing we have to be aware of is that Angie still lives in that house. So there is a problem there. Unless people are ready to renounce and rebuke and reject the demons that they brought in there, she's going to live like this until it's done or until she moves out. So that's the reality of it. You know what? Let's say a quick prayer for her just before we leave.
And
name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and we ask you to fill Angie and all her family. Just fill them with power and love and the sevenfold gift of the Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus Christ, we just ask you to sanctify her and continue making her strong with your precious blood and the graces of the sacraments. And Lord, we just ask that you bring a good holy priest into her life to do a house blessing, to do a house exorcism. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit brings her family into full conversion into the Lordship of Jesus Christ and breaks all ties with the occult. And we pray that the Lord blesses Angie and her family and keeps them safe and shines his face upon all of them and drives out any evil spirits from them. And we pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Eddie?
Thank you for joining us.
Can you guys just explain really quick what will happen if you already left?
We'll do that.
Eddie will call you after the show.
I'll call you, okay? Hold on.
Okay.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Actually, we'll be back
We're
tomorrow.
We're done. 10-7.
10-8. 10-7.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh, my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.